Hey guys, before we kick into this episode, again, we'd like to pay some tribute to our followers on our social media. So I'd like to start with James Mulligan, some piece of tall timber based down in Wellington that I'm sure made a great lock back in his day. Thanks for following us, bro, and I look forward to catching up with you soon. Felix, who you got, man?
Oh, I got an old boy from Rongotai, Arapeti Kipa. Appreciate the love, bro. Just don't forget to pass it on to the rest of the cuzzies. Cheer, bro.
And also representing the ladies, we've got Emma Bolton from Tamaki Makaurau. Really appreciate your support. Good to have our females hopping on board. Much appreciated.
All right, let's get into it.
You're listening to Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast. Let's go!
Kia ora, welcome to the Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast, where the team reflect, react, and ruminate on the great game of Union direct from Aotearoa. Another flurry of red cards, local derbies, and a long-time drought down in the village finally overcome by the original trailblazers of Super Rugby. So there's plenty to cover off following week 9 of Super Rugby, and we'll look ahead to some long-awaited Trans-Tasman duels, which will undoubtedly serve as a gauge as to who are title contenders in 2022. My name is Adam Burns, your host, back again, but our key personnel, of course, are Felix Philippou and Scott Poynton. Clearly not too disheartened from a fortnight ago. You've decided to give me another shot as your anchorman. So appreciate it, lads.
Well, good. Doing a great job, mate. Great feedback from some of the commenters online as well. Keep up the great work, mate.
Oh, thank you. So what did we make of the weekend's action?
Oh, look, another round of epic, exciting rugby. Plenty of tries being scored, some great derbies going on, and some history made. I thoroughly enjoyed all the games this weekend. How did you feel about it, Felix?
Oh, mate, no surprises there. I called it. Blues taking it out, man. Blues taking it out. Not just that game, though. Really, really liked what I saw from the Kiwi teams, as this is the last week before heading into the Trans-Tasman competition. All I got to say, man, is watch out Aussie teams, because there are literally four. I mean, I don't mean to sound arrogant. There are literally four teams who are gunning for the title here in New Zealand. And, yeah, on their day, we've seen some upsets. I just can't wait for these teams to rip into them. It's going to be great.
Shots fired already, Felix. So is this episode 25,
Lance? Yeah, 25 episodes. I remember doing number one, and we were a bit shaky. Hopefully we're sounding a bit better.
Trial by error, right?
Well,
so Scott, shall we see how it all transpired on the scoreboard at the weekend?
Yeah, man. All right, let's tuck into it. So started off on a Tuesday game with the Hurricanes and the Moana, 53-12 to the Hurricanes. Very convincing win. Crusaders and Blues, I think the game of the week, and we'll dive into this one. Blues took this on 27-23 with a very epic late, almost comeback from the Crusaders. Rebels and the Reds. Reds took this game 36-32. Surprising scoreline, all things considered, but another not to win there for the Reds. Chiefs and Moana Pacifica. Chiefs got up for this one 45-12. Another drumming, 2 in 1 week for the Moana. Pretty tough for them to take, but they'll troop on nonetheless. And then we've got the Highlanders and the Hurricanes. Another derby with the Hurricanes top the Highlanders 22-21 in a close encounter. And then finally, to wrap up the weekend, we've got the Force and the Waratahs, where I thought the Force might have put up a better fight, but the Waratahs have taken this one 41-24.
Yeah, the Tars are certainly making some improvements on last year, aren't they? Beautiful work, Scott. Now, again, to the two old Kiwi contests went down to the wire. The Canes getting out of jail against the Highlanders, but the Crusaders Blues clash in Christchurch was a ferocious matchup, harking back to the old Auckland Canterbury battles. The Blues held off a fast finishing Crusaders out for 27-23 in a game not without controversy, including the red card of Scott Barrett. Of course, we'll most likely dive into that, and you know, it was a highly contentious issue coming out in the final wash up. But it was the Blues who did enough to register their first win in Christchurch, first since Carlos Spencer inspired the franchise to a famous win at the old Lancaster Park in 2004. So let's cut to the chase, Felix. Are the Blues the real deal?
Oh, great hospital pass, but you know where I'm going with it. I'll take the rib shot and I'll take the Blues winning as well. So I'm not at all surprised. They needed a true test. They were a bit wobbly earlier in the season, taken to the sword by the Hurricanes and then the Chiefs the week after. And I think some were thinking, oh, is this Blues team just doing enough, you know, scraping past the top teams and winning the games they need to? So, man, they certainly made a statement against the Crusaders, albeit, you know, they were down, 13 men for like two minutes. And, that red card from Scotty Barrett certainly didn't help things. But, you know, those Aucklanders, they're going to take a win. They're going to take a win in Christchurch. I really liked what I saw from them. We can rip into this one, but I'll let Scott have a rebuttal because he doesn't look too happy with me.
What? What's going on here? I must have like resting bitch face or something. Because look, I'm stoked, man. Anytime the Crusaders lose, like, yes, let's go. Like, and it has to be the Blues. Like, I mean, 18 years in the making, and the Blues have under-delivered, you know, season after season. And, you know, they took some silverware, what was it, 2020, I think it was. And they've been growing. And finally, the Blues fans can have a team they can back where, you know, there's almost some certainty into what kind of performance they're going to get. I mean, the mixture of talent on the park, but also off the field as well, I think they're getting that right at the moment. You know, look at their leadership in their coaching department. I mean, Leon McDonald, I mean, this fella, you know, he's got, a 15-odd year career playing, 56 tests, All Black. He's, coached the Tasman Marco for his first team, and he led them to a bunch of finals, losing to, funnily enough, the Crusaders in all three of those years. You know, he's played for the Māori All Blacks. I mean, yeah, he comes from a winning culture, 122 games for the Crusaders. Like, he knows how to win, and I think he's finally, you know, one, perhaps maybe even got a little bit of belief in his own, you know, coaching ability, but he's bringing that culture into this Blues franchise, and they're all starting to believe. It's pretty exciting to watch, eh, how the Blues are going. What do you reckon? Like, how do you think they're the team's looking nowadays versus, you know, 5 years ago? We're looking at a different side?
Half of a different side. We could always trust the Auckland Blues to provide, you know, plenty of X factor in the backs. But what we saw in this game in particular was some real steel from their, you know, from their forwards. And I really do think the addition of Luke Romano, the ex-Crusader, going back home, he put on a show, man. I think he's added some real character to this pack, and they really do feed off of his physical energy. Like you said, the coaching's there. They've got some key personnel changes. And to complement all that firepower in the back line. So this is, like, for the first time in a long time, this is a more complete Blues team. And I think, you know, one standout in that forward pack was Dalton Papali'i. if we had an ugly section, too bad we don't have an ugly section, but do you remember his try down that left-hand flank? Nothing ugly about that, but the attempted tackle from Bryn Hall, Brent Hall saw the whole thing coming up and he sort of psyched himself out, had his arms ready for the tackle, goes in for the tackle and completely shanks. I was like, bro, you'd seen that. Yeah. Like, that was all on you and you let her try in. So you get away this time, Brent, but we would have gone in on you on a regular episode. Dalton Papali'i, man, he's just completely, further discussion about the All Blacks, he certainly made it more complicated. And I don't know, I do like him. I don't really know where he sits in that back three, because the first name on that team sheet is Ari Savea, and I prefer more physical loose forwards to complement his speed and finesse, especially against those Northern Hemisphere teams. Maybe someone like a Dalton Papali'i, who's playing lights out footy at the moment, comes off the bench. What do you think, Scotty?
Well, you almost could have Papali'i and Savea in there. When I look at it, I look at Papali'i as more of a worker than a ball runner. You know, he's got 89 tackles throughout the competition so far. I think he's sitting about fifth in the pecking order. And, you know, we think that Ethan Blackett is a workhorse. He's only sitting at about 86 tackles. So Papali'i's right up there. But I think it's his leadership and I wouldn't say his physical presence is any different than Ethan, because, my Lord, that guy throws his body into everything. But perhaps that could be the trio that would complement each other quite well. You got Ethan just willing to just do the hard work, not looking for the glory, tackling all day. Papali'i doing the same, but has the ability to stand up and lead from the front. And then Ari Savea, who I've marked down as a game influencer, who can do it all make big plays in big moments. Is that the combination? I've heard a lot of combinations being thrown out there, because you've still got bloody Akiti Ioane, Hoskins Satutu, you've still got Sam Kane, the All Black captain, Sawa Kula, who's on hot form. Who's the last one I just saw? Luke Jacobson. We've got so many loose forwards, and you've still got even Robinson, who's not playing all that bad as well. I think he's still probably out of the frame at the moment, but, man, we're pretty blessed at the moment, eh, in the loose forward department.
In Foster and Co, has some tough decisions to make, you guys would agree.
Well, yeah. I think you've got to have probably Savea and Kane. Then you've always got a run-on captain, so to speak, and then you just fill it around them depending on attributes that you need for the particular team that you're playing. But it's half the battle these days, isn't it? You're trying to match your strategy with your players' abilities and their strengths.
You mentioned, Scott, earlier on that Dalton Papali'i, you mentioned the Blues leadership has really kind of come to the fore during this campaign, and they're already talking about Dalton Papali'i as a possible All Black leader down the track. I mean, what do you both make of that argument?
I think Dalton could do it. I mean, he's shown in the weekend that he can step up in big games and lead by example and lead from the front. I mean, that try we just talked about that he scored down the sideline, breaking through two defenders and busting through with ease by the looks of it. That's the kind of play that gets your team G'd up. Does it not? And then he makes that massive play at the end of the game where he makes that try-saving tackle in the corner. And he even talked about it after the game, saying that he was still dazed from the previous phase, but he's willing to put his body on the line. You can see when there's a lot of pressure coming on, he's talking to his team, trying to rally them up and, stop them from giving away more penalties in some of those situations. I don't know. I think he's building into quite a solid leader. And, yeah, I think he could potentially go be an All Blacks leader. What do you think, Felix?
Yeah, I think we just forget how young the guy is. I think he's like 22 or 23, which is bloody scary. He gets a World Cup like under his belt next year. He's still around for the next one. He's certainly one for the future. You don't need to convince me, man. I think he's the man. I don't know where to place him. I think that there was always one question mark around this game. We always knew he was a workaholic. The guy can fetch, the guy can tackle. He's becoming more of a dependable line-out option. But could he run? Could he run the ball in the loose? And we all seen his runaway try on the left hand flank. You talked about it earlier, Scotty. That's an area of his game that he's starting to grow. And if he keeps putting on more of those highlight reel type tries, it's like, look, we're probably looking at the, you know, the second coming of Adi Savier. This guy's electric, man.
That's probably one point of his game, his running game, that he needs to develop. I never really looked at him as a runner until after this weekend. The Thunder Thighs.
And he ran with confidence. I mean, he was hitting the ball up with like real purpose, say.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the only one, man. Like I mentioned Luke Romano earlier, Offa Tuonga Fussy in the close. Like there were just guys who really just stood up. And sure, some of those guys didn't make like game-breaking type runs, but it was that sort of sustained pressure where the Crusaders just couldn't get their hands on the ball because everyone in the blue side was just so hungry to just punch it up, and then eventually there'd be numbers out wide. Ultimately, this game just came down to which team made more bigger plays.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for the Crusaders, one of their biggest plays went against them in Scott Barrett's red card. I mean, we all saw it happened. And unfortunately, Scooter has a bit of a reputation with that exact same play. Man, that was pretty nasty, eh? Surefire red card any day of the week. No argument there. What I didn't like about that call was the original sort of check from the referee was like, oh, was there something there? It wasn't quite clear. He let play run on for a little while. I was like, dude, that was clear as day.
And the then they sort of
forced the TMO to go back after Rich Moanga made that break, and they had to call the play all the way back because of it. It's like, dude, come on, ref, what are you saying? I'm so glad they made the call. And again, like in these heavyweight matchups, you don't want controversy to sort of taint the game, because up until that point, it was electric, man. But Crusaders do what they do best. I forget which captain said in their post-game match about the Crusaders. It's like whenever they get like a yellow card or something, when a team gets one less player, they almost grow like a third leg. I love that call. Yep. We need to find out who said that. And that certainly happened with the Crusaders. They stepped it up. Scott Barrett, dude. I really like this guy's play, his approach to the physicality side of the game, but that's an area that he really needs to work out. Scotty, what'd you make of the red card? Or what'd you make of the shoulder charge?
The disappointing thing about that is he's a repeat offender. You think he sort of learned his lesson. Yeah, the way I looked at it is he had plenty of time to pull out. I mean, it was clearly obvious the ball was knocked on. Why carry on with that tackle? He was also covered by, two other defenders at that. So I think he got what he deserved, really. He's lucky to only get 4 weeks on the sideline being a repeat offender. I don't know if that's the Christchurch taxes coming into play there for the rugby union, but that'll remain a question mark. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. Even Scott Robinson, you know, at the end of the game said they probably played their best rugby, you know, when they were 13 men only on the park, you know, one or two down. But you do. It's almost like almost like when you're doing a workout or something, right? You know, you only got to go for 20 minutes, got to go hard, and you just get up for it. It's probably the same concept, really. You also know you just got to get through that 20 and you get your teammate back. But anyway, the Blues pounced on it. They scored a try, and that was about it, wasn't it? Maybe a penalty? I can't remember. Anyway, they got points out of it. They probably should have got more, but...
Yeah. Anyway. Well, that's something that we should probably talk about is how the Blues approached that second half of the game. What when did he go off? Was it like the 60th minute mark or something like that? So
yeah, it was after halftime.
Yeah, like plenty of time to mount on some more points, but the Blues only managed what, a converted try.
Yep,
in that time span. So Crusaders, man, you don't want to mess with these guys like at the best of times, and then you know they. They get met by some adversity and they just grow another level. You're like, geez, these guys are insane. Yeah, Severin Reese, boy, that guy was electric. Yeah. and Richie Mwanga just pulling the strings as he does. This was, yeah, had all the makings of like a final or even a test type, you know, rugby match. Mm. Yeah, that was great.
I reckon we talk about Sevi Reece. I think this game really highlighted the importance of his finishing ability, because you saw that lock get it, Gardner. I was thinking, oh, he's in for all money here, and then it was just like the slowest nail.
Because no, if you go back and watch it, it was like the pass came out and no one knew who was on the wing.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, it's a short try. And then we finally seen who was on the ring and like, oh, crap.
Oh, hard out, yeah. All the Blues fans would be like, yes. I mean, he's got a big frame, 1 meter more. I mean, game of inches, you know, would have just crashed over, but damn. That was just like time just slowed down in that moment. I'm gonna make it.
Oh man. And Rico just sort of got his pursuit angle wrong. He sort of under pursued it and had to change his angle. He's just, that guy is so bloody quick, eh? That Rico.
Yeah.
Goes to show like how special it is to have speed in the midfield. Like that's not what the All Blacks used to have. Yeah, it was like
Conrad Smith.
Conrad Smith and like power punching style from Ma'anonu. It's man. And speaking of Rico, everyone talks about that last play, but he also did something similar when Will Jordan took off in the first half out of their 22. And no one talks about that. That he was in for like at least a 40-50 meter run down was it the our right hand flank, his left, and then Rico just comes out of nowhere. Well, the first time chops him down and stops any kind of momentum that the Crusaders could have built on in that first half, because they were after that. What was it? Yeah, after Will Jordan's try, they were pretty much, you know, out of the match. The Blues just ramped up that intensity.
Well, look, they scored, what, 2 tries in that first half. I mean, it should be more by the way they were attacking and dominating that Crusaders forward pack. And they had the game plan, like, absolutely right. Like, hold on to the ball and just muscle up and make the Crusaders feel like the secondary team in this fight. But you're right, near the end of that game, they just started kicking it away. Beauden Barrett talked about it at the end, so he knew straight away, which is probably the class of the man, you know, recognising his mistakes. And even I thought it was foolish. I'm like, bloody, who's the guy at the back again? We just talked about it.
Will Jordan.
How do you forget about him?
One of the hottest players in the game.
Well, I know. And why are we kicking it back there? You got Will Jordan who might get it. Sevi Reece who's in hot form. Richie Mo'unga. They can all attack from anywhere. I mean, I think Beauden Barrett knew, okay, I've made a big mistake here doing that. And it almost cost him the game because, but they score like 2 tries late in the piece to almost pull it back. But they'll learn from that though, because they've been learning throughout all these 7 weeks. They've got 7 games on the trot, and every week they got better and better and better. And you know, you got guys like Joe Smith there as well, and you know that's joined them this year. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the resurgence of their quick ball. I mean, Christie's probably plays a big hand in that, Finlay Christie, but
bagged himself a meat pie.
A good player. Well. No, he's good, exactly. But he's one of the best at the moment, at getting that ball out of that ruck as quick as possible. I mean, he obviously can't do it without good cleaners getting through, but he just gets in there and keeps the ball moving. And gosh, the size of this Blues team, you know, trying to tackle them when you're on, you know, half a back foot.
Yeah.
It'd be a tough day at the office. But you've also got their mall game, I mean, starting to kick into play as well. And Kurt Eklund's got 6 tries now. 6 more tries. That's unheard of. He might take out top try scorer at this rate. I mean, yeah, people are saying it's boring, but who cares, eh? I mean, Joe Smith is the reason that, you know, put Ireland back on the map. And we're starting to see some of those similarities come into the Blues, you know, structure.
You're going to take advantage of, you know, the numeric, you know, having one less person in the line out, say.
Yeah.
With Scott Barrett being sent off, like, take the line out.
Gotta be done.
Sure.
But no, they're looking like a well-rounded team at the moment. I'm just loving it. Great game of footy. Yeah.
Sweet. So yeah, was a thrilling game in Christchurch. So what does that mean for the points table, Felix?
Hey, my Blues equal on points at the top with the Brumbies at 31 apiece.
My Blues.
Not even from there.
Right on their heels in third place, the Queensland Reds at 30. Crusaders dropped down to fourth, perhaps the lowest they've ever been ever, with 28. Fifth place, the Waratahs are sitting on 24 points. And right behind them, we have the sixth place Chiefs on 23. And our favorite Hurricanes in seventh place with 20 points, which is not too bad. I kind of anticipated them to be there or thereabouts. And the Western Force rounding up the top eight with 13 points. In the second half of the ladder, we've got the Rebels in ninth place with 11 points. The Highlanders, who are livid after that game and against the Hurricanes, got 9 points. Fiji and Drua on six, and Moana Pacifica sitting on 4 points. There you have it.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for that, Felix. Just before we get to some of the key performers over the round, obviously the judiciary is once again busy. But I suppose there's another question, Mark, around the television match official and its ongoing involvement in games. Is the use of that technology as consistent as we would like it to be? What do you guys reckon?
If we had a look at the last fortnight's games, you'd have to say a blatant no. I'm all for TMO. I'm also for player safety. We definitely want to protect our athletes. And if we need to go upstairs to double check something, then sure enough, go ahead and do it. But there have been instances where there should have been, calls from the referee to go upstairs, and that just wasn't forthcoming. And they were at pivotal moments in the game. I look at the Highlanders and Hurricanes match just last weekend where Asafa Omoa, I saw it in real time, smashed over his ex-teammate, Gareth Evans, in the head with the shoulder. I thought, oh gosh, what that was like just past halfway, I think, in the dying minutes when they were trailing by one. Referee calls play on, nothing there. And the Highlanders players are livid. Still got the ball, mind you, and they have to press on and try score in that last minute. And they get all the way down right in front of the try line, only to be dismissed again for a call that did go upstairs, and which was a little bit 50-50. So you want to talk about consistency, it's so hard to pick. But I do think maybe some of the captains of the team should be given more power or more ability. Maybe we do formalize like a captain's challenge, just so that they get that one call that is controversial as hell that goes upstairs, because that was a game-changing moment for me. And ironically, was it today? It was published that Asafa Omoa is out for 3 to 4 weeks. So it's like, you're going to punish him. You're going to punish him. Well, 3 weeks. You're going to punish him for doing the deed, but that's always after the fact. And it's just like Adi Savia said the week before. You get an apology the week later, but it's too late. That couldn't have come at a better time. So I feel for you, Highlanders, because that was the Hurricanes last week. So, oh man, it's a gut-wrenching thing. But give the captains a chance to look at some of those blatant ones that they feel that need to be double-checked. What about you, Scotty?
I think you're absolutely right. Like, I mean, that example you talked about, I mean, he had a big curler, didn't he, when he was walking off as well? The evidence was right there in front of the ref's face. Like, why can't he call it back? I've seen them call things back for less. So it's kind of weird how they make these decisions on the fly. But yeah, I like the idea of bringing back the captain's challenge. I think that worked really well, knowing you've got an ace card up your sleeve and any sort of half play you believe is, a foul play, get them to look at it. Because that would have paid dividends, in even this game with the Crusaders and the Blues, where they called that 5 meter scrum from that charge down kick where Barrett tried to clear it.
Yeah.
And it was actually knocked out of bounds by the Crusaders player. It should have been a drop goal.
Will Jordan.
That could have decided the game. Yeah, that a captain's challenge, that would have been perfect there for them to go under the microscope and actually see where the ball, who touched the ball and how it got in there and what's the right call here. So, yeah, it's pretty disappointing. I mean, like you say, I'm all for player safety and all that jazz, but I don't know. There's just too many stoppages. You know, the momentum shifts so easily in a game, and when you're stopping a game every 5 minutes, the team with the momentum is actually at a disadvantage, you know, particularly if it doesn't go their way. So
clearly something the game's administrators need to constantly review, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's further tweaks as the seasons kind of ensue, I guess. And another point around that, the 5 metre scrum as well, that I know Dalton Papali'i significantly appealed at the referee to have a look.
Yeah.
But no dice. And you're right, Scott, it was a pretty pivotal moment of the game. In terms of key performers from the weekend, we had some players returning from injury, some players really hitting their straps, and some of the older heads also harking back to former glories. And I think you know where I'm heading with this one. The bus himself, Julian Savea, his days at test level done.
Wow.
Bro, I don't think so, eh? Julian Savea's, he's coming back with, I don't know, but the X Factor in the last couple of games. I mean, the Julian of old is starting to show again. Look at that run down the sideline. We talked about it last week where he, you know, carried three players and still got the offload back into the infield. He's looking dangerous with the ball in hand. I think his distribution is sort of overlooked at times, but you watch his passing game and it's spot on the money, eh?
He set Celesi Rayasi down, eh, with that mean ball. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so you look at that. I mean, he does have a bit of a kick game. He got a 50-20 the other week. Haven't seen a short kick game as of late. If one of you would like to jump in there at all. But, yeah, I think Julian, he's the real deal. And I told you, bridge out, Savea in.
That's the type of player you want to see from someone who was heavily criticized for his move overseas, only to come back with some real purpose and kind of like silence those critics who wrote him off, who thought he was over the hill. There was no petrol left in the bus. But, dude, this guy's like, even the Chiefs game, he looked like, you know, in red hot form. And I think for him, he's just got to keep doing that. Keep building on his confidence. We know the experience is there. We know he can bust tackles, he can distribute, but perhaps play some more of a complete game and iron out some of those kinks that he has on defense. Maybe that's maybe fatigue is a factor there. You know, he is playing close to 80 minutes in these games. So I don't know, maybe get him off and bring on Celesi Rayasi to finish off the game. Yeah. But Julian Savea is looking absolutely lethal at the moment. To answer your question, He could be a serious bolter this year, oh.
The only concern I had was because Clark wasn't there last year. So with his form, does he replace Bridge? I mean, what other wingers do we have in the All Blacks at the moment?
I don't think Sever Reese is going anywhere.
Nope.
Will Jordan.
Jordan.
Maybe you drop one of those midfielders like a, I don't know. Well,
Julian can Anton, play midfield.
Anton Leonard Brown's out for ages now, so here you go.
Hey,
there's an opening.
Yeah,
but is that going to be taken up by Roger Tuivasa-Sheck? No one knows.
I don't know. Hey,
I think there are serious question marks around George Bridge's ongoing place in the All Blacks squad. His confidence seemed to take a massive hit last year, and he looks far from adept at the moment. Who knows? He might be the player to make way. In the Chiefs Moana Pacifica game, we saw the return of Luke Jacobson. I mean, what did you make of his return from injury? in the Chiefs' loose trio.
Yeah, his return is almost seamless. I know he's sort of, you know, come back against a team that's already down, on the count. They've had come from a pretty big loss and they've had some pretty tough games in the last couple of weeks. But, Luke Jacobson, he was running with purpose, making a lot of breaks, scored a try, making his tackles. He was I wouldn't say super influential, but he was, giving his Chiefs team some really good go forward and creating opportunities. And Luke Jacobson's a sort of undercover sort of player, right? You don't think about when you're putting together your top 15 or your All Black starting lineup, you don't straight away think Luke Jacobson. But whenever he plays for the All Blacks or he's playing for the Chiefs, he plays a great game. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'd love to see more of him in the All Blacks, actually. But no, Luke Jacobson, he was a good standout for the Chiefs, and I'm glad to see that he's brought some good form and we see some more competition for that Lucy, the All Blacks Lucy's numbers. So good stuff.
Just another player to add to the mix, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Tries of the week. Have we got the technology all sorted, all set up?
We have the technology. Technology. Okay, so who should we start off with? Gonna go your try, Felix, or my try?
Let's go Hurricanes, eh?
Hey, Hurricanes! Okay, do you want to tell us which try it is, and then I'll play the video.
Oh, obviously it was that Max Hicks try, wasn't it? Started off by the chip through from Mitch Hunt. Lovely piece of skill from Thomas Umanga Jensen on that nice touch pass back inside to whoever it was. I cannot remember. Ardy almost prevented that try himself, but what's his name? Oh, Fakatava stole it back to get the try out to Hicks. Man, this was beautiful rugby. So we're going to play it down for you guys here. Guys can see it, but...
No. You'll hear the audio, and then just let me know if you want to stop, Felix. Otherwise, you talk your way through it, mate. Here we go.
No, you're good to go.
Awkward for Gilbert, but he's got it now. Banks have taken it back inside the 22. So here's the run from Hunt. Stabs a little kick in.
Julian's fail.
Ah, Julian, come on, man. Like, he's better than that. I was watching it like, dude, that's not going up. Do something. And then... great scramble defense by Artie and the Hurricanes, but
white line fever.
Man, that was, you want to talk about conservative play calling? This was the Hurricanes. It's like they were out of gas or something, and they were just getting rid of possession, and the Highlanders just found a second or third gear, and which led to this try. Man, they really should have stolen it here, eh?
How good is it to see the prop again, Daniel Leonard Brown, running the support line, almost getting himself a meat pie? It's unheard of these days. Bloody great. Mitch Hunt, eh? He had to make a statement, right? I mean, he's had some pretty sort of up and down form, but, you know, maybe it's good for him to come off the bench, you know, sort of see the game, see how it's playing, and then come off and he knows sort of, get a bit of feel as to where he can be best used or best attack or whatnot. But that was a good play for him. How about that tap back in? Who was that?
Yeah, that was Thomas Umanga Jensen. Silky smooth.
Yeah, that's pretty good, I think, on the fly. So that's contender number one.
Is it good enough to win try of the week? We shall see. What's the next one up, Scotty?
Okay, the next one up is the Nankerville try. Again, in the game against Moana Pacifica. Okay. So this try here, another is actually quite a similar try, but the Chiefs send it wide down the left-hand flank. Nankerville gives a great pass. And then what I actually find here is, well, when we watch the video, watch his support running line. You see, he doesn't actually initially run a support line that is one where, you know, they can pass back to him, you know, initially. He sort of runs ahead of time and tries to sort of foresee where the player's going and puts himself in a great position to receive the crazy chip over the top kick pass that you only do when you're playing touch with your mates. down at the park to score a great try. So let's watch this one. Actually, Nankivell. Oh, there he goes. And look at that. He's in front of Jacobson. And then the chip over the top. And how good has Nankivell been at the moment? I've sort of heard his name starting to pop up at the moment as another player that we can add to our list of bolters. What do you guys think?
He's solid, solid, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, bro. He's a really safe option. It looks like he's put on a bit of size, actually. But yeah, Nankivell. But yeah, that was
has
my.
Has he ever had a bad game? That's the thing. Like, he's not. I mean, besides this try, yeah, phenomenal try he scored. You don't ever hear him, you know, making big mistakes or, yeah, he's reliable. That typically what the Chiefs like in a center. So, yeah, with Leonard Brown out for an extended period of time, this guy's going to get, yeah, he's going to see a lot more time on the field. So good on
him. Could you compare him a little bit to maybe a Ben Smith? You know, sort of just plods away at his work and, you know, somehow creates amazing magic.
So similar work ethic, but Ben Smith had an uncanny style of athleticism that I don't quite see in the bro here. So yeah, I don't know, maybe give it some time. I mean, I know the folks down in Tasman really rate this guy. I don't know, maybe we do give him a shot. He's got some pretty stiff competition in that midfield though, eh?
Yeah, but every midfielder needs a backup midfielder, so he could be that guy.
There you go, guys. So Alex Nankivell.
Yeah. So there's two tries there, quite similar fashion, both from deep within their own half, both down the left hand flank. Felix's one in the Highlanders game was a nice tap in and then some really good forward play to finish it off. And then you've got the lovely chip over the top by Nana Satiro. And we only have one deciding vote in the form of Adam Burns. So Burnsy, mate, what is the try of the week?
I personally can't go past the Itini Nana Saturo's chip over the top and the regather from Alex Nankivell.
Is that because you know how hard that is to do? You screwed a few few games.
It just looks so silky from the Chiefs. I don't know, but I think it was more opportunistic, the Highlanders try. I think they got a little bit lucky. I think the Hurricanes' cover defense was caught napping a little bit. I know we had big raps on Julian Savier's form, but as you pointed out, Felix, he was
he's human,
checked
mate.
Out
he's
momentarily. He is human. For me, that was the try of the weekend. But I mean, they were both well executed. But for me, it's the Alex Nankivell try. And yeah, I'm curious to see how his form will develop with a couple of key midfielders under injury clouds. As far as high honors are concerned. So yeah,
let's go. Thank you very much. I'll accept my check in the mail. My winning chip.
So let's move on to the Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast MVP. Three players and our top performer at the weekend, a well-established name from the Blues Crusaders game. Who is it?
Owen Barrett. Now, this straight up though, like this guy, in my opinion, won that battle of the tens. That key line break that led to, was it Finlay Christie's try in the first half, marching his troops down the field, some key defensive plays, might I add. And I think the kicker, and no pun intended, for me was how he took over the goal-kicking duties when Spero Feta was having an off night. So a very complete game by the magical 10, Bowden Barrett.
How did you think he went, Scott?
Oh, I agree with everything Felix said. Just a classy game from a classy man, 100-game test veteran, all experience on display, and I'm just loving that as each week goes on, he's shutting down all those critics, and I think he's put himself back in that number one spot. So we'll look forward to seeing him in that first number 10 jersey come, was it July?
Yeah, it was good. Certainly good to see him hit his straps. And in the same game, another All Black also proved pivotal late in the game, in particular with two tries, which really threatened to overturn the Blues, and that was Sevu Reece. Every time he got the ball, he seemed pretty electric. What did you guys think? How he played?
I think every time he touches the ball, he looks dangerous. I think he's a pretty all-round complete player, and I just love the fact that he goes hunting for work. Is probably the key attribute that, you know, the All Blacks are looking for, or what makes a great winger these days is, you know, not only can you finish, but you're willing to do whatever it takes. And I just love it when I see him randomly at the back of a ruck. He's either clearing it or he's picking and going. You're just thinking, hey, what are you doing? But it's deep down, you love it, because, you know, given that he's one of the best ball runners in the game. Give the ball to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now, Sevu Reece, he's deserved of 2 points this week. He played great.
And then the Chiefs Moana Pacifica game. Of course, we've spoken about him quite significantly just now, and that's in the midfield for the Chiefs, Alex Nankerville. Once again, a very exciting showing from this kid.
Yeah, Alex Nankerville, Bolter for the All Blacks. Sorry to have been said. Let's just see it happen, all right? And you heard it here first. Again.
Okay, so is it time to kind of cast our eye over the coming weekend? Of course, it's a little bit different heading over to Melbourne, Victoria these New Zealand franchises. We're going to get a bit of a indication as to how we fare against the Australian teams. Let's start off with the Chiefs and Waratahs. Who we got?
Juice.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs will take that one.
Yeah. Okay. And I tend to agree with you guys. Here's an interesting one. The Moana Pacifica and the Western Force. Are the Moana side steeled and hardened from their battles against the New Zealand teams? Are they a contender against the Western Force?
Bro, I think so. I've marked this one actually. I'm definitely gonna watch this one. They're just gonna prove that the Western Force were just pretenders in the Western. We're not talking NBA here. The Australian Conference. They've made some splashes, don't get me wrong. But the Moana Pacifica, they're going to get up and upset the Force.
Ooh. Okay. I was actually leaning more towards the Force. I think the Moana are going to be so heartbroken and tired and jumping on an airplane and jet setting across the ditch. Might take them a week or two to settle in, but I'm going for the Force on this one.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this one. I'm
make a call.
Moana Pacifica just won it. Just yeah.
Yes.
Yay.
Go. The Blues Fiji and draw. Well, any chance of a complete boil over here?
Well, I'm scared about this game. I think the Blues, they may be tempted to side a B-rate team to rest their stars. And I really hope they don't. If they do, then I can see the draw getting up. If they play their A team, then watch the bloodbath happen. So I'm going to pick the Blues. But yeah. Cautiously.
Yep. I think the Blues should take this one. The thing I worry about is, and the Fijian and Drua did it sort of in their first couple of games where the Australian team sort of got sucked into their style of play and was throwing the ball around and it was out of character. So I think if the Blues can maintain their structure and their patterns that have been so successful for them in the last 7 weeks, they should take this game fairly comfortably.
Yeah, I think the Blues comfortably. No disrespect to the draw, of course. The Hurricanes and the Reds.
Oh, no.
Where do your loyalties lie?
Oh, bro, the most exciting team against perhaps one of the more solid teams in the competition. It's going to be tight, man. But something's telling me to go for the Reds. I know, controversial. I got to back my Canes 100%, but if there's a game that they drop, it's against the best Australian side. So there you go. They've played, what, 3 games in 7 days? Then they jump on a plane over to Melbourne. Yeah. And we saw how much the Hurricanes struggled against the Highlanders on, you know, tired legs. So hopefully they get enough rest. But the Reds are just in, yeah, such good form at the moment. I see them getting up just over the Hurricanes.
Yeah. They got some dangerous attacking options, eh? And if O'Connor has a day, they're in big trouble. Then you got Hunter Faisami, who's smashing people left, right, and center. Then you got Jordan Pitara at the back. And they play a sort of similar style of rugby where they're willing to throw it around and have some fun with it. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think my heart says Hurricanes, but my head says the Reds reluctantly.
If the game was in Wellington, 100% the Hurricanes. But
Yeah, I agree with you, Felix, around the travel. They might drop this game. So I'm going to say the Reds, unfortunately. The Highlanders and the Brumbies.
Man, you know what's the hardest thing about a gut-wrenching loss, controversial loss, is having to get up the very next week and have to back yourself up again. And against the Brumbies side, who are playing awesome footy, I just don't see the Highlanders quite doing that. They've shown that they've not quite the same team without their solid loose forwards and Marino Michele Tu'u and Shannon Frizzell. They've just lost that physical edge, which is what the Brumbies thrive off. A little bit controversial, but this is going to be a comfortable win for the Brumbies, eh?
Ooh. I reckon if the Highlanders can sort of find their, what's the word I'm looking for? Not passion for the jersey, but that mentality they took into the Crusaders game where their forward packs really stood up. If they can find that, that'll give them a bit of a chance here, a bit of a sniff. But otherwise, yeah, Brumbies, I think we'll take that one. Tough one for them, first one up.
Yeah, Brumbies, I agree. And last but not least, the Crusaders and the Rebels. Crusaders will be stinging from their loss to the Blues. When was the last time they dropped 2 in a row?
Yeah, they're going to annihilate the Rebels. Sorry, guys.
Yep. Crusaders, easy.
Yeah.
Like, easy. No.
I'd like to see the Rebels win for obvious reasons, but, I think the Crusaders. So, yeah, that's how we see the weekend playing out. Yeah, so, I mean, will we see the New Zealand teams take on the Australian sides? Obviously, you can only take so much if you kind of want to put it into the context of, like, the All Blacks-Wallaby matchups later on. But what are you guys looking forward to seeing, and what are you wanting to see this weekend?
One thing I'm gutted about is not living in Melbourne. What an awesome weekend. To be honest, I'm just hoping that when we get some good rugby, not a lot of red cards, which is highly unlikely. But I think both the Kiwis and the Aussies sort of are playing a similar style where we're fast-paced, throw the ball around. I don't know. I just want it to be competitive. That's the main thing. I don't want the Kiwi teams to go over there and smoke them or vice versa. Typical Kiwi fan, eh? Or All Blacks fan. Best in the world. Nah, I just want it to be competitive. That's all. I'd love to see the Highlanders get up and smash the Brumbies.
No, I think behind the Reds and the Brumbies, you know, the Australian teams, they've got a lot to look forward to. It's just that I think there's more flexibility with the Kiwi teams as far as the style of play. I really do hope that this week, this weekend in particular, given that it's the opening weekend for the Trans-Tasman League, that I see like all the teams stay true to their identity. I'd hate for one team to start playing negatively or because of, you know, they're worried about their position on the table and so forth, resting players. I want to see, attacking rugby. It's going to be a weekend for it. And, I hope they show up to play. It's going to be great.
Well, thanks, team. And also, we'd like to see some, probably some more followers as well on the Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast. Firstly, wanted to say a big thank you to all of our new followers who have tuned in to listen to the podcast on Spotify and also follow us on our social media channels. So, on behalf of Felix Filippo and Scotty P, my name's Adam Burns, signing off on the Kiwi Roots Rugby Podcast. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Ciao.